Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Hey. Welcome, 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 welcome. Never enough welcomes. Always all the welcomes. Episode 55.
Hello, friends.
Hags. Evan's wearing his hat, his coat, and clutching his tote
fully,
bag.
Like, I'm clutching my pocketbook. Yeah,
he's like old lady on the subway.
Literally.
Like, not...
I don't know. I just put it down on my stomach, and I felt like, oh, that's comfortable. It's kind of like a pillow. I'm just going to ride
it
this
way. It is a little chilly down here, but Evan is wearing a hat and coat.
Yeah.
Zipped all the way up to the
tip. It's part of his look. Like, it's a
his
whole
Luke?
Thing.
The look is cozy today.
So, I just wanted to, you know, his outfit would be incomplete without all of the
I feel like they need
bits.
A photo now. Put a photo on the...
Well, I got a camera right here.
This is cross promotional content happening.
Yeah. Always generating content.
Never not content. Always. Anyway, hi everyone.
Oh, hello.
What's happening?
Yes, it's good. We have a guest today.
Hello.
This is our friend Erin Gibbs. She is a designer. I forgot to ask your specific title at work.
Oh, my official title is Senior Surface Designer.
Senior Surface Designer at Danica Imports.
That's right.
Which is a local, like, homeware, gifting... Yeah.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
Lifestyle. Bits and pieces.
Yes. Little bits and pieces. Especially things made of fabric and textiles. That's and right. things like that, especially.
For your kitchen and your bag and your bathroom and your living or whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. To take around with you.
Or give to other people.
That's right.
I know I've given and received many Danica products.
Yes. They are great products. Yeah. They're good. I like them all. My collection is growing and growing.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, and now you have a
hookup.
We got a hookup. We got a connection. Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, we're going to talk to Erin about her job and exciting things she does for her job in the main segment. But for now, we can catch up a little bit.
Kiki.
Well, Kiki. Yes, exactly. Kiki. Evan, what's up with you?
I've been watching The Crown.
Oh, wow. You started yet. I haven't had time.
Yeah.
I love it. There's no... Listen, this is
listen,
what's
this
up.
Listen, this is what it is.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
I haven't started yet.
But it was just so fucking good.
Have you burned through the second season already?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you have.
Burned through. I watched the last three episodes of the first season, and then I watched the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. It was pretty intense.
Yeah.
And so pretty.
It's really pretty, yeah.
It's really nicely well done, yes.
Some of the wigs are bad, but...
Wigs you know? Is hard.
Yeah. Wigs we have a tough. High standard for wigotry.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
It's but hard to like.
It can be distracting though. Bad wigs can be so distracting.
I don't know enough
see.
To know.
Yeah.
Especially when it's peeling off the back of somebody's neck.
Oh, you gotta get that glue down, buddy.
Need a little bit of glue.
Just put a scarf on. Yeah.
There is a moment in like the first episode where I was like, oh my God, they fucked up her costume. When there's like the sash on the. Did you?
Oh, yeah.
I noticed that for a second.
I was like, what is. And I look at my husband and I was like,
how is the zipper stuck in the sash?
You're
but then it's, yeah, then it's like actually
it's like a thing.
That they fix.
But I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
How did no one catch it?
Oh, I was like, the continuity people are probably screaming at the TV right now.
They're never working again.
Yeah.
They've been fired. You're done professionally. Never working again. Oh, boy. I heard the next season, they're jumping forward and someone else is playing.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm very excited about that.
Oh, really?
Is it going to start in like the 80s?
What's her name? Somebody Coleman. Olivia Coleman?
Yeah.
I was going to say, Queen Elizabeth.
Fucking idiot. It's Queen Elizabeth.
What's her name?
The Queen.
She's the Meghan Queen.
Dolly. So have you finished the second season? Yeah. You tore through it?
Yes.
Yes, of course. How many episodes? Like, I don't know, 8, 10, something like that?
I think there's 9.
All right, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it was like over 9 hours of programming. Very intense programming.
I was going to say probably sandwiched pretty closely together.
Yeah. The Kennedy episode is like one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my goodness. Good. No pressure.
But at the same time as all that, like The Crown is coming out again, that Meghan Markle girl is getting all up in the royal family.
Yeah, very exciting.
It's very interesting how all these things happen at once. Yeah. It's almost like it's planned.
Yeah.
You know?
What do you do?
Interesting.
Well, it's very exciting.
But, you know, I'm going to be up at 3 a.m. watching her get out of the whatever they got, have her coming out of at her wedding.
Sure.
Gotta see that gown.
Have they set a date? April or something, maybe?
April.
Yeah. I thought it wasn't a big thing. Wasn't.
It's not going to be as big a thing.
It's still going to be in like a...
It's going to be in different church.
Three-century-old church.
Yeah. Oh, it's not going to be in like Westminster Abbey.
Broadcast.
It's going to be in at Windsor Castle.
Yes. So it'll be some of the chapel or something there. And
yeah. The chapel, quote unquote, is that's still literally church. Like a cathedral.
Yeah. That's old, three times older than our entire country.
Yeah, exactly.
If not more, probably.
Yeah, probably. Oh, boy.
There you go. So you have royals. You get your royals in.
We're on Meghan Markle wedding dress watch.
Yes. Officially. Who's going to do it?
Will it be American? Will it be British?
Oh, yeah, she's American, right?
Yeah. She's in L.A.
Oh, right.
She's California.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Maybe it'll be like a collaboration or something.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure all the speculation has begun already.
Oh, we have
already.
Months. Yeah. We have months to talk about it. It's going to be great.
Unless they announce who's doing it before, just so that they don't have like this big media firestorm.
Did they do that with Kate?
No.
No, it was
we didn't know until the time she Kate walked out that it was
like
Sarah Burton,
I feel like it's still
going
to be a circle, a secret. I'm looking at the ground and like this.
There's a circle?
Never mind.
Yeah. It's a CNC situation.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when someone's talking and like you're trying to type something else, but then you
just
start
type
typing
what
they're saying.
You did that at work the other day.
I did it. Like literally on Tuesday. That's
to the mirror. What? No.
That's not what
FedEx pickup. No, that's not. That's not what we were
that's
talking
not
about.
What we're talking about.
Yeah, I did
all
that.
Oh, boy.
This was a rough week. This was just like keeping my head
get
above
through
water.
It. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't rough. My job is pretty.
There's just a lot.
There's just a lot going on before Christmas. There's always like all the loose ends. You got to
somehow
get them all together
Christmas,
and sort them out.
Because you want to go on vacation. We're going, like the rest, some of us are going on vacation.
Yeah.
Want to get it done.
And you have like seasonal, because you guys work seasonally as well, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah, got special things to come up.
And then like the factory is on. You know, takes time off over Christmas and then like Chinese New Year, you have to figure out all that kind of stuff. Although Chinese New Year isn't as big of a deal here. Like our factory is here in Vancouver, so it's not like...
They're shutting down for a month or whatever they do in China sometimes.
It's just the fabric manufacturing sometimes gets weird.
But
it's like you have to deal with it now so that February isn't like a little shit show.
Yeah, exactly.
And thank God we're pretty... Like on the grand scheme of things, we're very like...
We're a well-oiled machine.
We think very far in advance too.
Yeah,
so thank God that kind of work that's been worked into our schedule by our boss. So she kind of operates like that. So the rest of us, follow along and so we're not stuck 2 weeks before something happens, going, oh shit, we're off the fabric.
Yeah. Whoops. Whoopsies. Yeah. But otherwise, I went to see the new Star Wars yesterday. It was good.
Excellent.
There's a theater on Fifth Avenue that's a 19 plus theater, and it's
delicious.
A bit smaller. It's so
where
great.
Is it now?
It's on Fifth Ave. It's Fifth and Burrard.
It's the old Fifth Ave.
I didn't know they reopened it again.
Yeah,
because it was closed for a while, right?
Yeah, but it's a Cineplex now.
Oh, okay. Because we used to go there all the time.
I love that theater. It's awesome.
It's so great.
It's a little.
So
it's got
great.
Like,
I think it has five screens.
Yeah,
now?
It had more than.
But they're not massively huge. And I don't know how this happened, but we managed to buy tickets yesterday afternoon. The day before, I guess we got them. Oh, no, he ordered them yesterday morning. Bought tickets yesterday morning for a 3:45 p.m. showing.
Perfect.
Which was like,
great.
Really? Like, for Star Wars, it's opening day? Okay.
Let's do it.
But at that theater, you could. It was
sure,
awesome.
I guess who knew it was playing there? People are going to, like, the big, giant places
and the demographic in that theater. Tends to be
it.
A little older.
A little older. We were the youngest people there.
Like, there's
I
a
love
lot of
it.
Years.
Crinkly minutes being opened during films, like every time you go there.
Definitely.
Or like, what do they say?
What's happening?
Why are they bumbling? But it was nice because it wasn't, I mean, I like 3D movies sometimes, but I
don't need to see everything in 3D.
I don't know.
It's fine.
I see it 3D.
It's fine.
I don't know.
I don't care.
Especially, like, those movies are so good. They're just really good.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's going to be a wonderful cinematic experience.
Yeah. It was a good
The people who want to see it in 3D would never go to Fifth Avenue.
Exactly.
No. Yeah. They wouldn't even consider it.
Wouldn't even, not an option.
So it's a very safe bet.
Yeah. And it's like a, 20-minute walk from our house across the bridge. It's so nice.
The weather's been so nice lately.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Doing all right.
Yeah, so I won't give any spoilers, but it's a
good time.
Really great show.
So it was this Ray again.
Yeah, this is Ray.
I'm into it.
Yeah. There was a bunch of ladies, like even like some, just like the fighters and stuff, like in the airplanes or whatever. Airplanes.
Yeah,
You know,
got it.
Star Wars airplane. Nerds all over, like, we're turning this off. We're never listening to this podcast again.
Unsubscribe.
Anyway, they'd show, you know, just representation of women is like pretty good. Like, there'd be as many, you know, female pilots as male. And I'm like, yes. Like, my feminist fist was in the air a lot, pumping it up. It was cool. Yeah, it was good. And it's a great show. And like, Rey is super badass. Princess Leia, obviously, is in it in her last role. So I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
They're going to
figure that out.
I mean, I'm not going to give any spoilers, but really, really good. Go see it. You guys, have you heard of this thing, Star Wars? Go see it.
It's really good. You should check it out.
And Adam Driver is so good.
I really enjoy him.
He is.
Even though he was like
such a good villain.
He was like so emo in the first one.
He's still a little bit emo because he's still like,
he's like shitty, right?
He's I'm sad about
that. I hate my parents.
He's like sort of a, just sort of an angry teen, never really got out of that angry teen kind of angstiness.
That's all right.
That's a super
fuel
villain.
You to be a villain.
I like it because he's young. He's young enough that you're like, I get it.
Yeah, you're still bitter about all the shit that went on in your childhood.
And you learn quite a bit more about his background and how he
gets there. Yeah.
And also Rey is so fucking cool. She's the best.
Yeah, she's super sweet.
And then there's another lady, like hero girl who comes out of nowhere. And
beautiful.
Good stuff.
Awesome. There was, I think Adam Driver was on SNL and he did like one at like,
was it the undercover boss? Well, my God.
I hear Kylo Ren is ripped.
I heard he has an 8-pack. Like, we know it's you.
We know it's you.
Kylo. When he throws him through the vending machine, just with his, like, using the force to, like, throw him into the vending machine. That's so good.
Oh, man. I don't know, where to get a hold of that, but oh, fuck. It was a good. Oh, man.
So funny. So
he's very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But yeah, other than that. Just last minute Christmas.
Just hanging out, yeah. Trying to get some. Like, I was doing some last minute Christmas shopping today. Thank God, there's a couple places super close, and I can go grab some things. I went with my recently dance obsessed 3-year-old to go see like the Nutcracker ish. It's the thing called Mixed Nuts.
Cute. Okay.
Oh, you saw it?
Is it a kids show?
It is a kids show, and all the dancers are kids.
Okay, I see.
Or like young and like teens.
Cool.
So it's like Nutcracker-ish, but there's like a whole bunch of different, it's like a local dance school, arts umbrella, or performing arts school, and there's just like a bunch of dance numbers.
Fun.
And they may or may not be Christmas or holiday related or Nutcracker related. Like there was a disco one, and there was a, like a Chinese classical dancing too, and a bunch of other things, and then like Nutcrackers and Clara and Sugar Plum Fairies and that sort of thing. So it was cool. My daughter was super into it. There's so many ballerinas.
I didn't know she was that into dance.
Only
that's
very
so cute.
Recently.
Yeah, is it the tutus? Spins. That's what did it for me.
It's the shoes, I think.
She was at her dance class
and I was super stoked. I'm like, well, I don't know if you need shoes because you're 3.
But
it's not a requirement, but we're buying those fucking shoes.
Like little pink ones?
Yes.
Oh my
and they
God.
Are so cute. And she wears them around the house and she wears them to dance class. And like dance class is like galloping and skipping, right? Like it's a super fun time, super low key. And she does it with her cousin and they have a blast. So we went and there's so many tutus and so many ballerinas and dancing and this and that. And I was very excited to see. I didn't even talk to Dave about this, but there was one part where like they all dancers come from the stage and they dance together and they dance apart and yada yada yada, and all these girls come on and then all these guys come on and they dance together and then they separate and they pair up and then two other people come out and do like a solo thing or whatever, and then I noticed there's two girls together, there's two boys together, and they're kissing, kissing, and they're like holding each other, and I was like, oh my God, this is so great. And then the girl boy, girl boy, girl boy, girl girl, boy boy.
Oh, we're so inclusive.
Like, this is so
just crying. Everyone's
and
just
like, some of the soldiers, some of the soldiers were girls, and some of the fairies were boys. Like, it was totally all over the place. It was great.
That is so great.
And some of the, like, some of the dancers were amazing. Like, these kids, like, they have to be under 18.
Yeah.
Like, they're not, like, they're in high school for sure, but some of these dancers were outstanding. Holy shit. Man, and I don't really have much of a tolerance for watching people dance. Like, that's just not my jam. Kind of makes me uncomfortable to watch people dance, like, live. Like, even So You Think I Can Dance, So You Think You Can Dance. I'm just like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
I love So You Think You Can Dance. I love that show.
I kind of feel the same way, and I dance.
But there are certain types of ballet. Like, I like the time. Like, I can watch people do maybe
classical ballet.
Like,
yeah.
But even Métis dancing. I've watched YouTube videos after I learned about what it was, because I didn't really know what it was until I met you. I've watched a ton of it. And ballet. I could watch classical ballet till the cows come home.
But if it's like contact, like modern.
Oh my God, or like lyrical stuff.
I'm not
like,
into it.
Why are you just throwing yourself around? This is so weird.
I love that shit.
I do too.
I'm like, I must feel so good just to be able to do any of it.
It's just so far from what I would choose to do with my own body. I'm just like, I don't know why anybody would choose to do this with their body.
They're expressing themselves.
Oh, good for them. I don't want to watch.
I love it. I have that with if I go to see someone that I know perform.
Yeah.
I'm so uncomfortable. Like, they're fine. Like, they can be a professional
actor. They're super used to it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll just, the whole time I'm like, don't fuck it up.
Don't look at me. Don't forget. Don't hit your mark.
Don't fuck it up. That's all I can think about. So the whole time, I don't enjoy it at all. If I know anyone involved, I'm just like, oh.
The worst is sitting like, if they want to put you in the front row.
Oh, no.
Have you ever
never.
Like, No.
I'll
into
be
it.
Behind the coat rack.
Yeah. I'm happy to support you.
Don't put me anywhere you can see
I'm
me.
I'm happy to watch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll just peek in from the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lobby. Oh, man. I'll just listen to it from the bathroom. Yeah. I'll be all right. Don't look at me.
Oh, man. And I know some people love performing for people they know because they have like a meaningful connection and their friends and family can see what they're doing and share in their experience as a performer. I can see that. But I could also see the benefits of not wanting to be the performer, perform in front of people you know.
Oh, yeah. No,
like, do it in front of strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. You never see them again. You never have to talk about it. You never have to engage. You never have to give any feedback.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to Sunday dinner and hear about it from your aunt. Whatever. Yeah. Or have your sister make a snide comment.
Yeah. Sisters.
Oh, man.
The snidiest.
Oh. Speaking of snide sisters, quick aside. I have two nieces. They are 8 and 9. And we were at my in-laws the other afternoon, and the younger one was home, was sick, and she was just hanging out at my mother-in-law's house. And we went over just to hang out. And my baby kind of took a step. Like, she was just kind of standing up, and then it was more like a correction. Like, she was falling and just, like, corrected. Still counts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, Poppy took a step. And then Ruby just, like, looks and goes, Rowan's going to be so jealous. We're older sister. I'm like, not congratulations. That's awesome. This is exciting. Her first thought was, my sister's going to be so jealous that I got to see it, and she didn't. Like, that isn't a shitty sister move.
That is.
That is. There
that
you go.
That is like 8 years old.
Yeah. And they're both super into the kids and the babies. And they're just in that age where the younger cousins are like awesome and they really enjoy it. And her first reaction was just to like stick it to her sister. Adorable. Like, yeah, you're not wrong. She will be super jealous.
Oh,
it's good times. Oh, what about you, Erin? What have you been up to?
I feel like I've kind of had a similar schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, pulling it all,
all
together.
Yeah, yeah, so we just wrapped up fall 18 photography season at work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been pretty busy. Mm-hmm. So lots of, organizing and getting everything together. And if we need food in the shots, making food, buying food, getting models, having clothes for the models.
Right.
Yeah.
Trying to shoot an outdoor cover in Vancouver at some point in November.
Yeah.
And kind of being like, okay, I think tomorrow we can do it. We weren't planning to do this for another week. I guess we'll try.
Tomorrow's the day.
And pull it all together and do all that. So it's been crazy.
Oh,
so that
boy.
Just wrapped up last week, which is great. And then I have some freelance projects going on. So I'm working on illustrations for a kid's book. So that's been pretty full on and really fun and very different from photography styling. And then, yeah, gearing up for, like, there's no rest.
Yeah.
So now we're gearing up at work for spring 19. So I'm involved with lots of planning in terms of that, bringing together mood boards and themes and color stories and all that stuff. So just full on. All that stuff. So not much social time.
No.
Happening. I'm really looking forward to the break. I'm off as of this Thursday coming up. I don't have to go back till after New Year, so that'll be good. Yeah.
That's a nice long break.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. I need a bit of rest.
I bet. Turn your brain off for a little bit.
So. Awesome. But photography is always fun and stressful, and as you guys know,
yeah,
it's like thrilling, but you're also like, I hate it. I love it.
Yeah. This is so fun. Oh my God, there's too much to do. Yeah. We got the wrong flowers.
Yeah. And it's just amazing to me the output that we have. It's basically three main people styling and getting the work
done.
And
you just
bring in
a
freelance photographer and an assistant, and it's like,
and you know,
we're getting 100 and almost 200 shots done during our photo season each season, and then it goes through color correcting and photoshopping and goes in the catalog. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you got to put the catalog together. And
So it's just,
content. Amazing. You always need more content.
Always
got to
make more content.
Always fresh, content.
Fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of content.
So. Oh. Well, maybe that's fun. That's a fun sort of a creative, like, every day is a little bit different kind of a job. That's really fun.
Very.
But also, like, can't just 2 days be the same sometimes?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just have a set task that I could just do and execute well and then just, like, do it again.
Yeah.
No, you have to wait another 6 months to do it again. Yeah.
You can do it twice a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what you get.
Twice a year, you get 2 days that are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of shit in between.
That's right.
Oh, man. Well, maybe we can segue into what exactly it is that you do at your...
Yeah.
So you're a surface designer.
I'm a surface designer, which doesn't necessarily encompass my whole job. So surface design, I don't know if you guys have talked about it before.
No, we have not.
Podcast, so
let's do it.
I'm in the housewares world, so it's obviously much less fashion forward. We're like a year, 2 years behind all the
big trends
that are
things,
happening in terms of color and print and all that. But same concept. So surface designers work looking at what's out there and what's coming up. And we basically illustrate either by hand or digitally prints and patterns that get put onto fabrics. And then those fabrics are made into aprons or dish towels. Or pot holders, or cushions.
Zipper pouches, doormats.
Tote bags, doormats, and then onto hard goods like mugs and storage tins. And, I mean, we sell so many different things. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enamel pins for your jean jackets.
Yes.
It's so hot right now.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically what surface design is. And then we also deal with designing. We do design some of our own wovens, which is really fun as well. It's like a bit of a different thing, and you have to use your brain in a different way and think about warp and weft and
color and texture. And,
And when you're designing a jacquard weave, it's like a total mindfuck.
It's different.
Every time.
Yeah.
I've been working in fashion for how long? And I still have to like think about jacquard and like, okay, what jacquard is again? It's like a two-sided knit, not a woven, right?
No, it's a woven.
Is it a woven?
It's a woven.
You can have a jacquard knit though too, can't you?
Maybe.
This is why
a jacquard is just the way it's woven. It's not. Yeah. It can be a stretch or it can be a woven. Or it can be a...
There you go. So somebody who's worked in bridal where I'm sure there's some jacquards that have come across your machine.
Oh, yeah.
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 Quite often jacquards are like drapes or cushions or sort of thing.
That's
it's like a fancy like paisley-y type of thing that has two sides to it, and it's usually the reverse on the other side.
Yeah.
Or it can be the reverse.
And it's like icons or illustration or pattern is woven in instead of being printed on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of some texture to it sometimes.
Okay.
But then like you get into things where you're like, okay, I want to have these, you know, like a paisley would be a traditional thing or whatever, or floral. But then you get into things where it's like, okay, I want to have multiple colors in this as well. I'm not just weaving with two colors.
Yeah.
If you want stripes or like on a tea towel where you see those ones that have borders
in
different spots. And then you have to think about that and how the color overlaps. So it's like, and when you only do that twice a year, you're just like, how did I do this last season? You go back and look at your artwork and you're like, I don't know how I figured that out.
Yeah. How many layers on Illustrator is this? What's going on? What filters did I use?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you must use a lot of like Photoshop and Illustrator and stuff. Do you like do your quote unquote painting on Photoshop?
I am old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I so can't paint with paint. I'm learning. We have a newer person who started in the creative department who is a designer as well, and she brought in some Photoshop brushes. So I'm learning those. So
like I did, on tablets and things?
Yeah, so we all have tablets to work on, which is amazing. So I
but I there's a bit of a learning those. Curve, yeah. Hey?
And it's like, I'm like toddler level with it. So it's just like blobby. And anyway, so I have a lot to learn, but I feel way more comfortable working by hand.
Yeah.
So most of my stuff I do by hand and then scan it in, clean it up in Photoshop. If I'm doing something that's like a harder edge design, I'll bring that into Illustrator and just do like a trace.
Vectors and stuff. Yeah.
On it. And and then we color it and make try to build a color ways
or
build patterns
or whatever. Yeah.
And Illustrator does have like a pretty great repeat function, but my computer crashes like every time I try to use it. So I kind of work old school in that way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, and lots of other people use Photoshop way more than I do, but they work all digitally.
Yeah.
And not by hand at all. Like they won't even sketch by hand. And I'm like, I can't draw it on the computer unless I draw it on a paper first. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, because my body doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. I can appreciate that. Yeah. It's a weird transition to go from like, from what's in your
one
head
medium
connected to your hand to what's in your head connected to a screen.
Exactly.
100%. And when they don't feel the same, the brush doesn't feel the same, the pressure doesn't feel exactly the same. You have to calibrate it to, you know, flow differently, like stuff like that.
Pressure
like,
and all that stuff. Yeah.
Can I just draw it out?
Yeah.
But everyone works differently. It's like, I'll be working on something and my coworker who works almost entirely digitally, she'll be like, oh, I can, like, I would just clean that up. Or I was like, oh, I messed that part up. She's like, oh, I could just fix that in Photoshop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's faster for me to actually repaint the whole thing than to try to fix it in Photoshop. Because I'm so bad at Photoshop.
You just rip this huge piece. I'll just crumple it up and start over.
Exactly. Sorry. Start again.
Don't worry about it.
Start again. Start over. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You were recently in India.
I was.
I am so curious to hear about your trip to India.
Your Instagram was so fun to follow.
Oh, my God. India awesome blew my city. Mind.
I bet. Because was this the first time you got to go?
Yes.
Because so your company's been working with them with factories and sourcing stuff in India for a long time.
Yes, they've been working. So it's a family-owned company, and they've been working with folks in India, other family-run companies in India for like 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So it was pretty cool because the original owners have retired and their sons are now involved in the business still. And so
that's
when
awesome.
We went over, we were meeting the second generation of
all those ones,
the
too.
Parallel companies in India.
Cool.
So there's two. I was trying to think about this. I'm like, how many were there? There are two at least where it's second generation. So the kids are running the companies now. And then the kids on this side are running the companies. And so it's kind of really a really cool. lovely thing. So in the past, it's just been people in product development who have gone to India. But there's a push now to get more of the creative team heading over there, which is really exciting because, you know, we're sending this artwork over to our contacts there. And we have a sense of what they can do based on what they've done for us before.
Right.
But we don't know if we're causing problems, if we're making things really difficult, the way that we're sending files or the type of artwork.
Or you could be making it more complicated and you're playing it
safe.
And
we don't know. Yeah, exactly. We don't know, you know, and it's, they send us samples, you know, on a seasonal or annual basis of like, hey, we're working on this now. This is different construction, but it's very different
when material or whatever. Yeah.
Person. So that was impetus for sending part of the creative team over there. And then we had other product development folks as well. So there were six of us in total.
Cool.
So we kind of had our leader. And he'd been there, he's been there 8 times before. So it's just like,
he knows the drill.
Yeah, got this. I know everybody. I know all the rules. And then my manager had been once before. And then everyone else was a newbie. And it was just, it was so fun. Everyone was so excited to be there. So yeah, six of us, one guy, 5 women.
10 days, you said.
10 days.
Oof.
Yeah.
So cool. I guess if you're going to go that far, you'd want to go for 10 days anyways.
You're like, exactly.
So much. Get her done.
I was like, can we go for 3 weeks? Yeah. It's like my minimum for flying that far.
Yeah, totally.
How many time zones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So,
what parts did you go to? What part of the country did you go to?
So we flew to Delhi.
Is Delhi the most terrifying place you've ever been in your whole life?
Okay, so that's
what I hear about Delhi.
So, I mean, the caveat to this whole thing is that we were taken care of so well.
Right.
So, we had John taking us, like, he had been there before, so he knew the lay of the land. We were going to places he'd been before, for the most part. And then all of our suppliers treated us like royalty. Like, it was crazy. So you're not having the same experience as if you were just a trip.
Yeah,
over there.
Managing right. your own transportation. Yeah. And yeah.
If you don't have to figure out how to get places
anywhere
or where to eat, that's all the hard stuff.
Yeah. That's where all the anxiety comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. And potential problems.
Yes.
So it was amazing. So yeah, we flew into Delhi. It was like a crazy 14-hour flight. And if you want to hear my crazy flight story,
Retail Nightmares.
Listen to Retail Nightmares. Yeah.
It's very intense.
This is the craziest flight I've ever been on. I think it's episode 125 if anybody wants to hear it.
It is worth listening. It is
100% crazy. Worth
it. Great episode. Yeah.
So we got into Delhi like quite late at night and then slept in, got up, and then we flew down south the next day.
Oh, wow.
So right away, down south, tropical.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah, yep. Beautiful. And I wrote down all the places because our itinerary was crazy. So we flew to Cochin, and it's quite a historical area. And it's where our doormat supplier is. So it's like coconut coir fiber that we use to make our doormats. And again, this is another one of those family companies. So it's like the matriarch is still there.
Mm.
And then her son basically runs the company. But y'all know that she's the one stepping in.
Yeah.
She was like hovering around and then was like, hey, this tour is going too long. We need to feed them. Like,
yeah. Wrap it up.
So depending on the company, people have different setups. So this company, for example, they have their head office and all their factory in the same place.
Oh, cool.
So it's like a big property.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. Palm trees.
One big compound or something. Yeah. Sure.
They've got like a beautiful shrine and then a ton of different buildings. So some of the buildings are multiple story, kind of more Western style buildings. They have a beautiful traditional building that's their head office. It's incredible. It has like traditional Indian paintings all around the outside of it.
Wow.
And then they have areas where the quite manual stuff happens, and that's probably what you've seen when you've looked like online at like textiles made in India.
Manufacturing, right? Yeah,
where it's like quite a high roof. It might be like corrugated metal.
Yep.
Two walls, pretty open, lots of airflow, kind of thing. So yeah, I don't even remember how long that company's been around, but some of the employees have been there like 25 years. Like,
wow, cool,
nice.
People ride their bikes to work. They ride their motorcycles to work. And we got to see the whole process from how they process the coir to actually make the coir yarn. And they use they deal with other materials as well, like jute and, what's the one out of Malaysia? I can't remember the other one. Anyway, they bring other fibers in, but they mostly deal with coir because it's there.
It's there.
And
gotcha.
It's abundant.
So what is that? Is it from palm trees? Is it like
it's from the coconut?
The coconut. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So it's like
the husk of a coconut.
Yeah. It's like, and then they have all these different processes they go through to make it so they can actually use it and,
like you said, make it into a yarn. And then if you think of a doormat, like the brown natural color,
that's right.
You can like wipe your boots on and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they have a whole bunch of different processes. They deal with rubber as well, so you can have like a rubber material with your doormat.
The
and they do embossing. And then for us, for the most part, they do printed doormats. So then you have all these amazing people cutting screens, which is something you hear all the time in any kind of print thing.
Yeah.
And we'd heard, it's not like a traditional screen print. It's a big metal sheet. And we're like, okay. You know, you think about it in an abstract way and you see it. It's actually a piece of metal. And they're, for sampling, they like are cutting it out. So there's a guy in like an area and he's cutting the shapes out. And then he'll have, for each color in the design, there's
a
like
their own metal sheet.
Yeah, 18 by 30 metal sheet with that area cut out.
Wow.
And then they have to, unlike a regular silk screen, they have to put a ridge along the outside so that the spray, it doesn't overspray. So then they have to solder an edge around each shape. Like, it's crazy. I was like, this is too much
intense.
This is way too much work.
This is what we've been making you do this whole time?
I was like, I'm sorry. But they're like super pro. So
there you go.
And there's like differences.
It's what they do.
Exactly. There's differences between the sampling screens and the production screens. So they have like a laser cutter for doing that. Once they get into it.
Right.
Oh, if they know that's what they're going to do and they're going to make a million of them or whatever, a bunch.
Exactly. And then they have people basically screen printing, spraying all the mats with all the different layers of color. And
so they make the materials.
Yep.
Then they make the mats themselves. And then they do the printing all in-house.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then they have a touch-up team. And then they have this like a separate area for folks who have shown more artistic skill who are like brought in to do more complex designs and things like that, which is cool. So
that's awesome.
Room for people to kind of move around.
Yeah.
So that was cool and really amazing and such a huge operation.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the south of India also has, because I'm always thinking about green stuff, and I know you guys talk about this a bit. So South India and that province in particular, I believe, has pretty strict environmental laws.
Well, that's good to hear.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So you have to have like wastewater treatment.
Management of some sort, sure.
Preferably where you're actually just recycling it and using it over and over again.
And, yeah, right, and not just releasing it. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and then they recycle, like if they have rubber offcuts, they're like folding that back in to
production to somehow.
Them,
sure.
Yeah, to use them again. And, yeah, so it's pretty
very
great
down cool.
There. Yeah. So that was the first couple days. Then we got into textiles. So we had to fly across the country to get a flight to fly.
Another cross country.
Back close to where we were originally. Because we couldn't get train tickets. So.
Oh, well.
Yeah. There's some complexities there with traveling with six people. And then we went and met with one of our cotton suppliers, who we've had a relationship with for like 15 years. And he actually lives part-time here in the Lower Mainland, which is really great because we get to see him in person.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Some connection there.
Yeah, it was really nice to see him there. So we toured around to so one of the other structures for these companies is that they'll have a head office and then they work with factories in the area. So they don't necessarily have their own. Yeah.
Okay.
So we went to one of the sampling areas that they work with. And I actually don't know for sure whether they sample stuff for other people, but they sample for us and we got to see, you know, giant silk screens that were, I don't know, as big as a door.
Wow.
That, like two people are maneuvering.
Wow.
And, you know, they've got all the pots of color. You know, we work with Pantone colors and you send off these colors and it's like, okay, well, they have Pantone books and they'll be like matching the color and there must be some sort of like mathematical machine that's dumping this color.
Three drops of red, four drops of green or whatever, right?
I mean, they match the color, but it's like buckets of pigment.
Is it just like, that's so cool.
Sitting on tables.
I've always been so curious about that because when you look at, like when you learn about Pantones and like when you're learning Photoshop and stuff and how
to build
what a Pantone color lit, like what the makeup of it, and when you... Like when we were talking about Valentino Red is like, I forget what the breakdown was.
But 100%
like
magenta, 100% yellow, and then a drop of black.
Something like that. And so you're like, that's cool in like an abstract kind of way. But then when you go out to where the pots of pigment are, like is it by weight? Like, I mean, it's a crazy thing.
By eye, by weight, by smell.
Because like here, digitally, you just send it off and you just like, I'll just send this file, this zip file to India and they'll send us goods. It's such a crazy system of how, I mean, I'm so envious that you get to go and like see that process of you create a thing, you draw a picture and make it a digital thing and then they break that down.
Yeah.
They break it down into the way that you can receive it again as a whole.
As a thing.
It's so cool. It's stuff that you don't think about. Like, you don't think about the color, how the color of your plaid shirt became that color of yarn and then was made into this other color of yarn that was then woven
together
into another one in a very, you know, organized, systematic way so that all the plaids look the same and this warp goes with this weft and all that kind of shit. Like, that stuff you just...
Or are you can think of it too as being such a technical, or like you say, you're working with computers and you're working with this, and then you go there and it's a bucket of blue.
It's a bucket of pink.
Yeah. Like totally analog, old school. Like it's just buckets and they mix it together and they make it work and they find the color. Yeah. And
this is why you have things happen. Like you'll get samples and you'll sign off on them. And then when it goes to production, which isn't necessarily in the same place, the colors might end up being slightly different.
The same.
And it's always like, God, can't they get the color right? Like it's a Pantone. Why don't they just match the Pantone? It's like, well, this is why.
Yeah.
Because they're working in a very different way.
They have a different system than what we...
Hundreds of people touching each and everything that is being made.
Like it's even things crazy. Like getting a roll of fabric made like from what's called a dye lot. You'll have a different, if you get a sample of fabric of, say, a blue stripe.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is the fabric that we like. And
love
then
it. That's the one.
You order 1,000 yarns of it and it's like ever so slightly different. You're like, well, what the hell? Well, that's why. Like, and when you do things like order you know, over two seasons or something, the same thing in the same fabric.
With the same black.
The same quote-unquote black. It's not going to be the same.
No. So, and then you're going to have part of both in your warehouse.
Yeah.
And so customers might be receiving part from lot one and part from lot two. Yeah. And trying to put them out in their store. And they're like, why doesn't this?
Yeah, I was just dealing with this same thing last week for a delivery that is going out for our wholesaler, or pardon me, for a retailer in the new year. I was like, well, we have to pull all of this order from
the same.
That's right. Like, we need to call the warehouse and be like, as soon as this order comes from the factory, I need you to pull these 25 units and just keep them for three months. Just keep them in their own box for 3 months. That's how it's got to go, you know?
Make sure it all matches.
Yeah, because you can't get a call from a retailer and be like, well, this top doesn't match the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy
it. Three of the tops are one color.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the rest aren't.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's so crazy. That's why. It's people and different materials and natural materials and things.
And it's buckets of paint.
Especially with natural things, right, where there's going to be, it's not like you're making it in a factory out of plastic and you can replicate it a million times. No. The tree is different. The paint is different. Right. The time of year is different. The light when you're looking on it is different, you know, like different times of year, different, like your eye might see a different color than my eye.
Yeah, when you're looking on a computer screen, it looks different than when you see it in person.
Yeah, because your eye receives the information differently.
Maybe the brightness is down on your computer. Like, I mean, it's bizarre.
There's so many variables. Yeah. So it must have been so cool to go and see this all happen. Like, there were some videos of them dyeing, like blue. Was it maybe jute or something, and they were like dipping it all. And I remember seeing some videos on your Instagram of them.
It might have been on
Andrea's too. Managers.
Yeah, she took a lot of videos.
So cool. Yeah.
So like the scale is incredible. So it's like they're using up so much material, and of course we demand so much material.
Yeah, because that's your order.
But then it's so small. Also, like there's just so
doing
much
handful at a time
taken.
Or,
You know, there's this silkscreen doormat and someone is manually touching up if there's like one area that doesn't have the right color on it or is missing a bit of color. So it's like this huge scale thing, but also this like attention to detail that's crazy.
Insane.
And also, like we had no appreciation for it before.
Oh,
and
for
it's
sure.
Like
yeah,
coming
no
back,
idea.
I'm like, oh my God, these people are amazing.
Yeah.
And they do so much hard work for us.
And like even the tea towels, like every tea towel that you get that's like whatever, 12 by 18 inches was printed by probably a few different people.
That's right.
Every color has its own screen. It's not like you can just go hit, you know, press
print
command P and out comes the tea towel.
And even that, like we did see some digital printing, like we're exploring digital printing a bit because you can get a more photographic result.
Accurate. Yeah.
And so we saw a couple of digital printers and they use them for different purposes. I think one is more for dark backgrounds because it's quite hard to achieve a rich dark background with digital printing. But there is someone standing there and like pressing the button. But there's also like two other people monitoring the machine. And there's literally like tubes that go out from the machine to like buckets of paint, essentially. Like, it's still.
Make it as fancy as you like. There's still a bucket of paint out back.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my God.
You again.
And they are. But it's so cool because it's like they're doing all of it. Like at the contrast between these like super modern facilities and you go to another facility and it's like two ladies holding each end of a silk screen moving down a room that's, I don't know, 100 feet long.
Yeah.
I don't know, the length of a block basically.
Sure.
Right. Yeah.
There's fabric stretched all the way down it.
And then just start at one end.
They start at one end and they alternate, right? Like they're printing one towel and then leaving enough space for another towel, but not printing that. And then they're printing the next towel, leaving space, printing the next towel. And then they can go back because it's dried a bit. Fill in the gaps.
Oh,
that's one color.
And they got to time it all out because it's got to dry in between.
And then they go back with the other color. Alternating.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So cool.
And it's just like this length that's insane. And then all the stuff that's already been printed is lifted up and hanging. So you've got all this like draped fabric everywhere. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, I bet.
And they're like so efficient, so fast. And we were so annoying to all of them. Like, what's this? Like getting in the way. Touching and feeling everything. Yeah. So
that is so cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that, I mean, the rest of the factories that we saw were all textile based, mostly cotton.
So the ones, like you're saying, the cotton manufacturers or the cotton people there. Mm-hmm. Is it all in-house there as well? So are they milling the fabric as well, or are they?
It depends. So we saw them weaving. Yeah, it totally depends on what you're requesting of them. So some of it, they're like straight up weaving our towels because we have, you know, we'll have like a white towel with blue stripes on it or something.
Right.
Yeah. So they're weaving it there. They're bringing in the thread and weaving it. But for printing on just like blank cotton, I'm actually not totally sure. I think they must bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have certain qualities that we identify depending on the design or right. the line that we're designing yeah. for. I feel like they must be weaving it for us, or they have a supplier that will consistently be able to right. deliver
just
that
offer
quality.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Because
very cool.
Yeah. And we also did see a bit of cotton spinning as well, which was very cool because I went to textile school and I didn't learn a lot about cotton spinning, and it's quite hard. Like, it's not something you can do manually. Mm. Really?
No. Especially in huge, giant amounts too on like such an industrial scale. And
yeah. And I mean, there's animal fiber that's easy to spin, but cotton's kind of hard because of the short staple length
right,
and everything like that.
Yeah.
So that was very cool. Like, we got to see like the sliver coming out of the machine and like coiling up into bins. And it was just like bins of all this beautiful processed cotton. And we got to go to a spinning mill, and then we went to a solely jacquard weave factory, which was crazy.
I bet.
And so loud.
I bet. Oh, that's what Olivia Pascal was saying. It was so loud. Yeah. She was in
Taiwan or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
I think that's
China,
where the cotton stuff was. She's like, it was the loudest thing I've ever seen. It was insanely loud.
And that was kind of the only setting where it wasn't super people heavy.
Right.
Most of the places it was like very hands on, but that setting, you'd have one person monitoring two looms, something like that, right?
And it's all just automatic.
And it's just going. But machines. The thing is that, like, a thread will break.
And the whole thing.
And it's, like, thousands of threads on each machine, and that person has to go in and find where that thread is and, like, retie it.
So it's, like, when
you get
out
a piece of fabric and you see, like, a little...
like, a little knob or something,
a little nub looking at it, it's, like...
somebody.
That's someone's hand tying that knot back together, thread.
Putting that back together for you.
So it's, like, you know, it's looked at as a blemish, but... now I see it as more of like, oh, there's a person working on that.
Yeah,
they're taking care with it, and
that's a connection to a person who made that.
Yeah,
it's so crazy to think at how. I know people do not have an appreciation of how much work. This is what we were saying before, of how much work goes into a doormat or a cloth or
the person and or people. On the other side.
And like Pascal Claire Gabbro was saying too, like this whole like handmade thing, like all your clothes are made by hand. Your clothes are made by people's hands. Like that's what a factory is.
It's not
machines.
Robots.
Yeah, this isn't like a car manufacturing, robot. These are people cutting and sewing and pressing
and
all that bundling. I mean, all of it.
Yeah.
These are human people.
Hundreds of hands have touched everything.
That's right.
Yeah.
To some extent.
We have a linen supplier as well that we work with for our lifestyle brand. They do cosmetic bags and tea towels and stuff like that. And they have their factory actually in-house. And we got to meet the man with the shears. He was like,
ooh.
Yeah. So he was like, I mean, there are multiple guys with shears, but he was like
the guy.
But I was like, I had no idea someone was actually like, I don't know. I thought they would be doing it with some sort of, I don't know a lot about industrial cutting or anything like
sure,
that.
Sure, machines or saw or lasers or something.
No, it's literally like, so it's our linen, printed linen fabric. So it has to be silkscreen first with our print and pattern. And then there's an interfacing layer. And then there's a lining layer, which is we call it a vegan leather, but it's, like a vinyl, whatever. It'd be like a metallic or a solid, whatever. So that's all fused together. And then he gets these kind of weird shapes that have the pattern printed on it that he has to cut out around. And he's just cutting them with this giant pair of like beautiful shears.
I can't, like the sound.
The sound.
Yes.
The sound of that.
Oh.
It's so good.
But that's what he does. It feels so good.
And
that's
his
job. And he's the guy that does that super important.
Yep.
The man with the shears.
The man with the shears, yeah. So that was really cool because it's like they have their showroom at the top of the building and it's linen. So it's like, come on. So beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just like, let's touch everything. Yeah. And this supplier actually is in the pajama world as well. And I was like,
oh, hello.
Some of some pajamas. Yeah.
That'd be pretty nice.
Yes. I got to talk to you about those.
Yeah. Yeah. So then as you kind of like work down the floors of the building, it's like different stages. And you get down to the, so there's like the cutting and the sewing. And it's so cool to see all the sewing. I mean, you guys have seen this and done this where you're sewing multiples and it's just like this chain of everything kind of joined together. They're like, well, I'm binding all the seams on
the inside. Yeah, here we go. All the collars all attached together. Like, all the straps.
So it's just so cool to see all the different steps. And, you know, they're really concerned about waste and environmental stuff as well. So we came up with some solutions about that because we were actually seeing
But the processes, right?
The offcuts are
right
with the man with the shears. Like we didn't know how our pattern pieces were set up and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, here's some ideas about how we can reduce that.
Yeah. So would that be something even just about like changing the shape of the final product, or is it stuff like how you can maximize the offcuts into another something?
More of that. And then talking to people who worked at these places, they're like, oh, we have all these different sizes of cosmetic bags, for example, and we love this new little size that we've designed, and they're like, oh, this one is so time consuming. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, why would it be so time consuming? Well, it's a tiny pouch, it's got interfacing, and it's got this heavy vegan leather lining,
sure, and a zipper or a button or something, right? Yeah.
And they're like, it takes us X number of minutes to turn each one. And we were like, well, of course we didn't think about that at all when we were designing it. We're like, this is just very adorable, and we don't have
and it's a new one. Yeah
So we're like, okay, this is
good to know.
This is why we come on these trips, is to learn this stuff, how we're making things difficult for people.
Right.
And it's like, we're charging less because it's a smaller item, but we're causing them more work.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like figuring out the value.
Yeah. There. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, what's worth it, what's not.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, we won't do that again.
Yeah. Or we'll raise a price on it or whatever. Yeah, you know, like, cause that's not always feasible too, right? Because you got to price it.
Exactly.
Accordingly.
That's a kind of funny thing that you don't think about, but things like that step in manufacturing of turning the garment
inside out
or right side out, I should say.
Right.
Because it usually gets sewn inside out and completed inside out. That takes a lot of time to get all the corner seams, a nice sharp corner, all the zippers out and straight and like punched out properly. Like,
and that's that takes
Yeah, make sure the ends are all tacked down. You don't see any edges, and they're all secured and straight. And every time we get your makeup brushes out or whatever, see anything with a pouch like that,
turn it inside out.
Have a look at the finishing.
Turn it inside out.
And then we had at this factory. So we have these cosmetic bags, and they have zippers on them, and everybody wants like a cute pull on their zipper on their cosmetic bag.
Yeah.
So we've been exploring that a bit more with different materials and shapes and stuff like that. And we all love pom-poms. And so we have in the past and are now speccing pom-poms for our zipper pulls. And so our contact there was like, oh, well, we'll show you how they're made. So they brought up the woman who works making the pom-poms to do a demonstration. And I don't know if you saw this video. I don't know if Andrea posted on your Instagram, but it took 8 minutes to make one pom-pom.
Shit.
You're kidding.
I'm like, I am never specking a pom-pom again.
Scrapping all the pom-poms.
And just like, you know, if anybody's crafted at all, it's like, it does take a lot of yarn.
It takes a while.
Like,
you got to wrap it and trim it and tie it down.
So it's just like, oh my God.
Maybe we're doing tassels now.
Yeah.
Tassels seem more straightforward.
Maybe you just get a bow.
Yeah.
Put a ribbon on it. Call it a day.
We were just like, oh, and then you're like trying to be engaged watching it. We were like, this is taking
but then your brain's like, oh man.
So lots of learning.
Yeah.
Lots of learning. It was really great.
That's such a valuable experience for any.
On so many levels.
For anyone who works in a creative field, especially in a field like fashion, where there is a lot of
product.
Secrecy.
Yeah.
About what.
And disconnection, you know, between like you here working in your office and then them working.
Yeah.
You know, in their factories or whatever, they're trying to make it happen.
Well, and one of the amazing things was meeting all these people that, like, I've been at my job for 8 years, and I got to meet all the people I've been in contact with, but in particular, one gentleman who I sent my first tea towel design to.
Aw, that's nice.
So that was really cool. Mm. I was like,
you put a
Rajan,
face to
what's
the
up? He doesn't really speak English, but he's like so happy we all were there.
Aww.
We were so happy to meet him, and his wife works there as well. So they were like very cute together. It was just adorable.
That's awesome.
They have like that one office and factory. They have like three couples that
they all work together.
And, yeah,
that's awesome.
Pretty cool.
It's so cute. It's really cute. But yeah, it was an amazing trip.
Do you have a highlight?
Oh boy.
Is that even an impossible question to answer? I'm sure there's...
Oh my gosh, there's so many things. The food was awesome.
I was going to say, it doesn't have to be work-related. It can just be trip-related.
The
I
food mean, was crazy.
Yeah.
So good. So we, in the South, it is more rice-heavy than mm-hmm. gluten-heavy, which was great because we had a couple of people who can't have any gluten. So we had incredible meals there. That just blew my mind, and like the breakfasts were so good. It was all so good. And the first place we stayed had like a dedicated man who made chai in the morning.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
Man. So you just chai
like,
guy.
Yeah, he was our chai guy. And it was like I'm so ignorant. I'd never seen it made properly before.
Sure.
And it's like an insane process and like multiple.
It just shows up in your cup and you drink it.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's like he's pouring into this vessel and then it gets poured into another vessel and it goes through this sieve and then it goes through that sieve and it's like then it's the most delicious thing you've ever had.
Oh my God. And there's like 800 spices and you've heard of two of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I guess one of the highlights was when we were down south, we went on a boat cruise.
Ooh.
Which is not my jam. I do not have sea legs. So there was a lot of concern about me going on the boat to it.
Gotcha.
And there were provisions made, which was very kind. But we got there, and it's called the Backwaters, which sounds horrible, but it's beautiful, calm, tropical waters and all these little islands and archipelagos. Is that what they're called? And little fingers.
Oh, sure. A bunch of,
yeah. And we get there, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be fine. It's just completely flat. There's no waves. It's not like going out into, you know,
open water or whatever.
Right? Sure. Yeah. And it was basically like a wicker boat, essentially.
And made out of doormats.
Yeah. And we thought that it was kind of like a bigger boat that lots of people would be on, but no, it
was
been
just
hired for us.
Aww,
oh my God.
Awesome.
And there's all these beautiful like lounge chairs.
Oh.
And then there was a captain somewhere. We didn't see him. And then there was like
he's busy driving the
second
boat.
Mate, and he brought us snacks and things like that. We had delicious deep fried bananas and
ooh,
yeah,
man. Really good.
And then, so obviously lots of people live on these bits of land around. And so there was lots of waving and smiling and,
yeah.
And then the assistant or the second mate came out and he was like, oh, there's a bar right there. And we're like, oh,
all right.
Okay. He's like, oh, they make, toddy, which is this moonshine essentially made out of coconut water.
Oh.
And it's super illegal, apparently. And they're like, do you want to go? And we're like, yep.
Yeah, we do. Let's check this out.
So we like putter over to this like bar and these guys are like, what is up with this group of like whitey?
It's a bunch of white ladies getting off this boat.
Out of nowhere.
We heard you got booze. Heard you got some illegal booze. Sign us up.
So the guy in the boat asked us how much we wanted. He's like, how many bottles do you want? And they basically just like take it out of whatever their vessel is and pour it into empty water bottles.
Okay.
And they're like, he's like, how many bottles do you want? And we're like, we don't need multiple bottles.
Just the ones probably.
Just like
fine.
Like
half a bottle. And they were like, wow. Lightweights. So you get this half a bottle. And of course it was crazy.
Oof.
It was the craziest
rocket
tasting
fuel.
Thing.
Sure.
And if you don't like coconut water, it's really not.
It's not for you.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's very that plus like a yeasty.
Interesting.
Cidery.
Yeah. Alcohol.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. So only a couple of us were into
it. Well, chalk it up to experience.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was sweet.
That's cool.
That was quite the highlight. Yeah. It just was all a highlight.
Yeah.
And one of our vendors rented a party bus for us to be taken around because there's six of us and the cars are kind of small. And so it's like, okay, how are we going to get six people around?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Party bus.
Oh,
nice.
My God.
So that was really fun.
That's fun.
Yeah. That's the way to do
That's
it.
That's the way to do Delhi. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
fun.
Awesome.
It was all highlights.
Yeah, I bet.
Bet.
Yeah, I loved it.
Very
awesome.
Cool. Well, this seems like as good a point as any to go get some.
Have a little break, refill our drinks.
Yes. Yeah. Go get a coconut boozy water. Yeah. What was it called?
Toddy.
Toddy,
Like toddy, I guess, but toddy. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
All
right. We'll do a couple
Sweet.
Of shots and
Let's
we'll come
do
back.
It. Awesome. And we're back. had to call Dave down for some technical difficulties because we didn't record over everything we just recorded.
Hopefully that's still the case and you're all still
the numbers
here.
Are still going. I think we're okay. The timer reset to zero and I'm like, that's not how this normally goes.
Like, don't touch anything.
I texted Dave, help computer. And then he rescued us. Thanks, Dave.
Dave's the best.
Yes.
So we're here for obsessions. Yes. Sessions times.
Let's do it. Dave can obsess about the quality of the audio. Yeah. That's his job. He's very good at it. And we can obsess about important things.
Really important
really
things.
Really important things. Does anybody have something
you
really
go, Katie,
important?
You seem very
do I?
Excited.
Well, mine's really super dumb.
Good.
Perfect. So there is a website called botnik.org.
How do you spell it?
BOTNIK.org. And it's basically...
Okay.
My husband sent me this article yesterday from The Guardian about this artificial intelligence, like, last chapter of Harry Potter that was written
by... Oh, my God.
Botnik. Have you seen this?
Oh. So it's like computer-generated...
They basically gave Botnik all of the books.
The whole series.
The whole series. And asked Botnik to write the next chapter. Oh. And you guys, I'm going to see how far we can get through this before I start weeping out of joy and laughing too hard. The chapter is called Harry Potter and the Portrait of What Looked Like a Large Pile of Ash.
Okay.
So it's the chapter is called The Handsome One. Let me see where I should jump in here.
Pick up here.
Leathery sheets of rain lashed at Harry's ghost as he walked across the grounds toward the castle. Ron was standing there and doing a kind of frenzied tap dance. He saw Harry and immediately began to eat Hermione's family. Ron's shirt was just as bad as Ron himself.
Gotcha.
If you two can't clump happily, I'm going to get aggressive, confessed the reasonable Hermione. What about Ron magic, offered Ron. To Harry, Ron was a loud, slow, and soft bird. Harry did not like to think about birds. Death Eaters are on the top of the castle, Ron bleated, quivering. Ron was going to be spiders. He just was.
This is like Mad Libs. It's so good.
Complete nonsense. He just was. He wasn't proud of that, but it was going to be hard to not have spiders all over his body after all is said and done.
Not wrong.
It is so insane. Okay, look, said Hermione. Obviously, there are loads of Death Eaters in the castle. Let's listen in on their meetings. The three complete friends zapped onto the landing outside the door to the castle roof. They almost legged it, but witches are not climbing. Ron looked at the doorknob and then looked at Hermione with searing pain. I think it's closed, he noticed. Locked, said Mr. Staircase, the shabby-robed ghost. They looked at the door, screaming about how closed it was, and asked it to be replaced with a small orb. The password was beef women, Hermione cried. It's like... It's the most amazing thing I've ever read in my life.
God.
It is so
Someone needs
stupid.
To make like an illustrated book.
There are illustrations. If you go to Botnik, by the way, Botnik has an Instagram account, which I mean, you'd be an idiot not to join this. It is so funny. They have a whole bunch. You can basically submit stuff and it'll just turn it into something. There's also like a predictive text thing. So you can like. Basically create your own nonsense sentences and words and stuff.
My gosh.
There's on the website, there's a whole Dear Abby thing where they've read all these Dear Abby so insane. They are the dumbest, some of the dumbest things I've ever, just like good, innocent nonsense. It's so funny. If you need just a good, you know, check yourself out kind of a laugh, just a harmless, you know, speck of... joy in all of the craziness of the world right now, go on to Botnik and read the Dear Abbeys. They're insane. They're so funny. We've gone through this entire website, my husband and I, just tears rolling down our eyes laughing. We had to stop, like my stomach hurt. We were laughing so hard. It's so great. I send it all to my family. I'm like, you guys, I just sent you a really important email. I need you guys to read it so that we can talk about this because this is the greatest thing I've ever
seen. You're going to need to have it read before Christmas because we're going to talk about
this. Yeah. It's so, so stupid. Voldemort, you're a very bad and mean wizard, Harry savagely said. Hermione nodded encouragingly. The tall Death Eater was wearing a shirt that said, Hermione has forgotten how to dance. So Hermione dipped his face in mud.
Makes sense.
You guys, this is the future of artificial intelligence. It's here.
This is the future. Future now. Future's now.
Anyway, we'll put a link on for the whole yes. story. It's only like three or four pages or something.
Amazing. Oh,
it's hysterical. And just nonsense. Just
I love it.
If you need to pick me up, you need to lose, you know.
And you don't have to know Harry Potter.
You don't have to know Harry Potter.
Because I don't know Harry Potter. And that was...
Neither say I.
Great. Neither does Potter. And they read the whole thing. They still don't know it.
Oh, there's this whole thing about these two Death Eaters kissing behind a veil and everybody clapping politely. Oh. <It's> so stupid. you guys, good stuff. Yeah, that's all I've done the last day and a half.
So I don't blame you.
That's me. Yeah.
Oh man, good times.
Deep stuff.
Yeah, really deep. I mean, the heart of the matter here on Fashion Hanks. We get it. We get it.
Yeah, important stuff. What about you, Yvonne? What do you got?
I've been listening to Oprah's podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
It's called Super Soul Conversations.
Yes.
Whoa.
Gotcha. I've heard Super Soul. I've heard that name.
I'm also obsessed with Super Soul Sunday. I didn't know you could watch it for free, like live streaming.
Oh.
It's Super like Soul Sunday?
It's like going to church.
It's like going to church.
Except Oprah.
Except it's Oprah.
Well, Church of Oprah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's on a Sunday. She has like, all these spiritual leaders come and she talks to them about spirituality and life and what do they think. Like she always asks them like at the end of the interview like the same questions and she's like, what is God to you?
Okay.
Oh. Like what is the difference between spirituality and religion?
Okay.
Like very intense shit.
Some heavy shit. Like,
yeah. But new goal is to be on Super Soul Sunday.
Yeah.
It'd be really fun. And you like whenever Oprah really gets something, she like repeats it to herself like a couple of times.
Yeah. Let it sink in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just absorbing that. I'm just like, and she's like takes it so seriously. And I'm like, okay, it was profound, but it was also a lot of spin.
Yeah. There's a bunch of bullshit stuck in there.
Like, well, isn't that religion?
Yeah.
I'm offending some listeners maybe, but there's a lot of spin.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
There's dogma. The best answer someone gave was like the difference between religion and spirituality is that religion is like, it has this burden of dogma on it and spirituality is a bit more pure.
Okay.
That's what they were saying. And I was just like, shit, like you're saying that to Oprah?
Yeah, bitch knows.
Did you know who you're talking to?
Do you know who you're talking to?
Our Lord and Savior, Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just looked at the Super Soul Instagram. It's all like...
Quotes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Give us one. Give
unlike,
us one.
Yeah, unlike leaves or lavender petals or water or...
Also, Botnick has a bunch of those.
Oh, good.
Nice. Vulnerability is our most accurate measurement of courage. Fitting in is not belonging.
Oh.
I mean, Sissy, like, they are really puffy, but they are profound.
Dreaming, after all, is a form of planning.
I like that.
Compassion isn't about solutions. It's about giving all the love that you've got.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for the energy you bring to this space.
Whoa. I feel like it would all just sound like the same nothing after a while.
I listen to some and it's like, and it's like, here's this like 35-year-old white pastor from Texas and he's going to talk to you about God. No, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. I want to listen to like Ayanna Van Zant. I want to listen to Maya Angelou.
Fix my life.
I want to listen to Brené Brown.
Yes, Brené Brown. I like her.
Yeah,
I like her. She's southern bitch style.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is. Who's that?
She writes like self-help books about becoming your best self.
About vulnerability and shame.
Yes. And she has interesting bits about creativity too. Mm-hmm. And she works with Eat, Pray, Love Lady. They're buds.
But she started as Julia Roberts or something?
Yeah, she's an academic.
Yeah. So she's got like the stuff to back it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's like, I have the data. She always goes back to the data.
So there must be back one of these that's from her.
She's got the receipts?
She calls it the data.
Oh, good.
And I'm just like, oh.
It's better than receipts.
It's like.
It's data. It's fucking scientific. Yeah. Oh, so there's like Tony Robbins, Cheryl Strayed. Cheryl Strayed wrote Wild. Didn't she?
Yeah. That's a great book.
That was a pretty good
book. Brené Brown. Yeah. Who else? Ariana Huffington. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot. Gloria Steinem.
Yeah.
This is the podcast?
This is the podcast, yeah. So it's basically like the edited.
Pope. Oh. Pope's got some quotes on here.
It's all like the podcast is like edited down versions of Super Soul Sunday because it's like an hour long conversation that's just kind of goes here and there. But so then the podcasts are like edited down to like a theme.
So the Super Soul Sunday is a show?
Okay. On OWN, yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Gotcha.
She's creating content.
Yeah.
I mean, content.
Yeah. She's a content queen.
She's got to do it.
Never not content.
So then after listening to like all those podcasts during the day, when I finished working, I went home and watched The Butler. And it was a completely different version of an Oprah Winfrey.
It is.
Yeah. But
and you got to wait for Wrinkle in Time to come out and see another Oprah.
Another Oprah.
I saw the trailer for it last night. Yes.
Blonde Oprah. I recently reread A Wrinkle in Time. So good.
I've never read it. My entire experience has been watching the trailer last night in the theater. But Oprah looks like a badass queen and I'm on board.
Super I think I read it in elementary school and I
was super into it. I read all of the books.
See, when I'm
I was
not
young.
Into
I like fantasy.
Fantasy,
sure.
And so I have this bad impression of it. Yeah, but I read it when I was in grade 5.
Sounds about right.
Or something.
Yeah, she'd be about 12 when you read it.
Old? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it that old? Thanks.
Well, I mean, like, we're probably the same age. I thought this was like a new thing.
No,
it's been like around. A classic ish.
Yeah.
Classic.
I mean, thanks like, a lot.
I think we're like close to the same age.
Super gross.
But like, what was that? What was the vampires movie?
Oh, Twilight.
Twilight was like a new movie or a new book series, and it went right into movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. 1962.
That was the time was in 1962. Plan for that book series to
holy shit I
immediately thought it was explode make movies make everyone a buttload of money and then shrink into obscurity
should maybe
I don't think it'll have much staying power.
I might have I just remember feeling like I don't like that.
I didn't really like that
but
stuff either.
Probably if I read it now I would be fine with it.
Yeah, you probably read it in about 45 minutes.
Yeah. It's a super short book.
And if Oprah's in a movie, I'm gonna see it
for sure.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a bunch of like it's a pretty stacked cast.
Yeah.
In that one.
Who else is in that? I haven't seen the trailer.
Reese Witherspoon, Mindy Kaling.
Right.
Gugu Mbatha-Raw plays the mom. I don't know if you probably recognize her if you saw her.
Galifianakis.
Dad? Yeah, it's like Galifianakis. Chris Pine.
Chris Pine.
Captain Kirk.
Crazy cat.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Ava DuVernay, who did
Selma.
Selma.
Oh, okay.
She's the director.
In the trailer last night, there's like three or four main kids, I think. Mm-hmm.
Three
in it? Three?
Yeah.
Their names didn't show up in the trailer. It was just the list of all the like
all the grown-ups. Yeah.
So I said to Chris, I was like, I didn't have any of the kids' names.
Aren't the kids the main characters?
Yep.
Didn't
it's
have
about
any of the kids'
them.
Names.
It's their adventure.
And Chris was like, well, I guess they don't have very good agents. And it was all like Disney everything. I was like, little zinger right there.
They better get some better agents now.
Yeah. Yeah,
getting better deals now.
Fifth Avenue specific trailer.
So yeah.
It's like people that only the senior citizen demographic
will recognize.
All like, Oprah's in this. Yes. Go see it.
Anything your mother or your mother-in-law would care about, yeah, that's what they focus on.
Oprah and the Reese cute one from that Star Wars movie. What's his name? Kirk.
Yeah.
Right? From Star Wars?
Yeah. That's what your mom knows about it.
Yeah.
You know that from space?
He was
in their airplanes?
He's handsome.
He drives that airplane, right?
It's an airplane. Yeah. Through space.
The Star Wars airplanes. You know, the Enterprise.
Yes, that's the one. You've already know way too much information about this. Where did you learn this? What's happening? Oh, man.
Well, you, Abby, what are you obsessed with?
Me? I have two podcasts that I've been listening to. One is only has three episodes. It's great. It's by a company called, they've been doing this Instagram for a while, called Fashion Revolution.
Oh yeah.
Fash_rev is their organization. It's out of the UK. It's a nonprofit magazine about becoming better clothing consumers.
Mm. Oh, cool.
And their Instagram is super awesome. Like, mm-hmm. they give you tons of, like, actual things you can do and learn about to become a better, more conscientious consumer and what the companies and the industry needs to do to become better, more transparent, more ethical, more, environmentally conscious, that sort of thing. They're based out of the UK, and they have this thing called Who Made My Clothes? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they take pictures of people in factories all over the world saying, my name is blank, I made your clothes.
The last company I worked for, we participated in this.
Yeah.
I was like, why does this sound familiar?
And they also have a big push. I forget what time of year it is, but where you wear your clothes inside out so you see the label. So you see where you show people where your clothes are made and you become aware of where your clothes are made. That's not part of the label that you ignore.
Right.
When you look for the washing instructions or the size or the brand. Like, that's the part that you're going to be looking for. Like, they're made in Vietnam. They're made in
Bangladesh.
Vancouver or whatever. Yeah. So you try to become more, they promote making and mending and creatively engaging with your own clothes and stuff like that. And they had this really cool podcast, I think also called Fashion Revolution. Let me try and look it up here in my app here. 3 episodes where they go to Bangladesh specifically, I think, and interview a bunch of people who have worked for them, they talk about, each episode is its own subject that has to do, let me find it now. Shit, where is it?
Can I just say that the new version of the podcast app after the update is complete garbage and I'm super pissed about it.
Yeah.
I would never is an update ever good though? I was like, oh no, I don't know how to use it.
They totally designed it. Like, why? Ugh. I can't download it. I had to switch from my podcast app to a completely different app because it just stopped downloading.
I haven't upgraded my iOS because I've heard such terrible things about it.
Don't do it. I wish I could go back because I'm mad about it.
Dang it.
It doesn't download anything. Like, even if I say, like, specifically download
subscribe
this episode,
to this one or whatever, yeah.
Even episodes of, or even podcasts I'm subscribed to,
that's the whole point of that.
The whole point! But it just appears for you when it's released.
I had one job.
I want to phone Apple and be like, bitch, what are you doing to the app? Why would you, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, man. Brutal.
Anyway,
back to or Stitcher. We're also trying to get on Spotify. We've also tried to get on Spotify. So there we go. We're trying that. Okay, so this one's called Fashion Revolution Podcast. Who Made My Clothes? The Garment Worker Diaries. And it's a year-long research project focused on the lives and wages of 540 garment workers in Cambodia, Bangladesh, and India. And these people go to, it's this organization, Fashion Revolution, and this also other organization for microfinance opportunities, about microfinancing and promoting that sort of thing. So it's actual, like, empirical research to unpack what garment workers earn and buy and what their working and living conditions are like and what sorts of things they do to get by on a very low income. They dig deep into the data to reveal just how much economic, workplace, and home life stress the women face, because most of them are women. So, like I said, it's only 3 episodes. Each one is under an hour, I think. And they talk about how the buildings work, how the physical locations work, how that works, why these people don't have unions and how the government actively stops them from unionizing and the benefits of unionizing, what unions can give to these workers. This one woman who's been working there and has been jailed repeatedly just because she wants unions and trying to promote that, but the government is actually trying to stop it. Interview, like, how much do you make? How much of it goes to taking care of your family? How much money do you send to your other family in other parts of the country? Because that's how a lot of it works, where the workers go to a big urban
center,
and then they send their money back to their families. And how that works and how they survive, and a lot of it is placed on the women, which then they also take care of the family and their children and their siblings and that sort of thing. So it was super interesting, but also, like, then
depressing. Yeah.
But also at the end, it's very hopeful because they do talk to people who are actually making headway and actually trying to improve it and stuff. So they talk about Rana Plaza a bunch, which was the big disaster in 2012, about the big building collapse and that sort of thing and all the things that have happened since. And they talk about it on, like, a macro level, but also on a micro level. And they talk about, like, what the larger industry needs to do and then what these individual companies can do in these actual locations. Super fascinating. Very interesting. Hmm. And then there's another podcast that I started listening to called Fashion Talks, and it's out of Toronto. It's a Canadian fashion journalist named Donna... Oh, shit, I'm going to forget her name. Donna B. I forget her last
Bishop.
Name now. Donna Bishop. Yeah, that's her. And she's got around maybe about a dozen episodes now and interviews people. It's like a roundtable discussion. There's usually two or three people where she talks with
about different aspects of the fashion industry and how it works, and luxury, and arc of luxury, how that works, piracy and knockoffs, online shopping, status, fashion and status, fashion and pop culture. Interviews with specific designers too. She's done Evan Bedell and Nars. I forget. Anyway,
cool.
It's fascinating. She's kind of a charming lady herself, and then she has interesting. And it's Canadian too, which I really like.
It's every 2 weeks or every week?
Every 2 weeks, I think.
And what's her, what it is. I'm not up on my fashion world. What's her?
She's a journalist.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And she's been a fashion journalist for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah. And she also works with CAFA, which is the Canadian
Arts and Fashion
Awards and stuff, okay, that is like the CFDA awards, but for Canada and stuff that promote local talent and whatever that. There's like a school, not a school, but like a program in Toronto where designers.
Fashion incubator.
Yeah, incubator. Yeah, where you go and they help you. You run your business and then they help you with the business side of it. Like you go there and do your creative stuff, and then every month you meet with a mentor and they help you get a business plan and find financing and that sort of thing, and get PR and help you on that front and stuff.
Cool.
So it's partnered with the CAFA.
What's it called again?
Mm-hmm. Fashion Talks.
Straight up.
Fashion Talks, yes, Fashion
that
Talks.
That sounds cool.
It's great. It's super interesting. And I follow them on Instagram.
Yeah, I think I'm on their Instagram. I think I follow their Instagram too.
And it's a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I've been doing. Podcasting, when I can. When my children fall asleep in the car and I just drive around town. That's what I do sometimes. Oh, boy. And Erin, what have you got? You've got a whole bunch
of obsessions. I have so many obsessions, so maybe I'll...
Choose a couple, two or three.
Should I do a dumb one and a not dumb one?
Love it.
Sounds okay,
great.
So
we would feel bad if you didn't do a dumb one.
Is it better to do
strictly not dumb?
Is it better to do a dumb one first or a dumb one second?
I mean, there's been a whole mass of dumb and not dumb, I think.
Maybe I'll do my serious one first.
Okay, we'll end on a high note.
Yeah, so I've been following this account for a while on Instagram, and I was like, oh yeah, I really enjoy this. I think this is my ongoing obsession. I don't even know how long I've been following them, but it's like an account called Art Garments. And so what it is that it's photographs of old paintings, oil paintings, and then they zoom in on specific areas of the garments within the painting. So you can see how the artist has painted like a lace collar.
Cool. Or velvet, like that, or ribbon. Silk. Yeah.
Shoe details with little like covered buttons. And
whoa.
So it's pretty cool.
And I remember learning in fashion illustration, learning how to draw velvet, and it blew my mind.
Tell me.
It's just, you just put like on the tops, like of folds and stuff.
Yeah.
Just like a white or a light version of that fabric, like quite light. So it has that sort of softness and sort of reflectiveness.
Right.
But it's a matte. It's a white. It's not shiny or glossy. It's just white.
Soft, yeah,
highlight. And I'm like, come on, that can't work. And then you're like, oh my God, that's velvet.
There's the texture right there.
That blew my mind. I remember that. I remember that very clearly in fashion school. And then I've never done another illustration since.
Velvet's since back, that though.
That's true. That's true. I'll have to get my white paints back up.
In a really big way. But I like it because it's like
fantastic.
A type of, like, I'm not super into that type of painting. And I always feel bad about not liking that kind of like traditional portrait.
Renaissance like, type of stuff. Ugh. Sure, yeah.
I like modern and contemporary art. But that is awesome because it's like super close up. And it's like, you know, you can get in to see how they actually form lace or ribbon or a highlight on a certain kind of fabric.
Like, it's crazy. And it's like how we know about what that fashion was like in that time period. Exactly. Yeah, it's from the paintings.
Yeah. But also, was there some like Photoshop where they just kind of made people look grander than they actually were, like putting different clothes on them and
adding more
color,
bigger skirts, bigger collars, more fancy jewelry,
more puppies around
the
floor, bigger hair. Napoleon wasn't that tall.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Yeah, that's gonna go back in their feed and look at a whole bunch of stuff. That is so cool.
It's very cool. It's kind of the only way I can get into art history.
Whatever it takes.
Western
that
history.
That looks awesome.
Yeah. And then my other obsession is very silly. It's the Great British Bake Off.
Yes.
That is not silly.
Yes. That is legit. Super legit. Good.
That is not dumb. That is
I can't handle it.
You're exactly right.
It's so good and entertaining and engaging and compelling and
I love
delightful.
It's delightful. I love all the contestants. It doesn't matter what season. I haven't delved too deep into it. I've only seen one full season and bits of other ones. Doesn't matter who they are. I'm in love with
so good.
All of them. Everyone's a sweetheart. Everyone's adorable.
Everyone's trying their best.
Everyone's trying their best. It's and hard like in the tent.
Real human people, too. It's yes. not like these like super glamorous. No. Tall,
it's not like Top
ladies.
Chef where everyone's like trained beautiful. Chef.
Yeah. And they're also really good at like diversity,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
people
totally.
Different ages and totally. Genders and
yep.
yeah.
It's great.
Races and stuff. They do a really good job of making sure that
yep.
got a good everybody gets a chance.
Folks.
Yeah.
And the judges are great. I know everybody, Paul Hollywood, it's like people like to bug him, whatever. I love both the judges.
He knows
the
shit, man.
I don't care. He's playing the role that he's there to play.
To counter Mary Berry.
Mary Berry's a delight.
Mary Berry!
I haven't seen any of the new stuff where they're not there.
I haven't.
I'm not watching it.
Evan's boycotting it.
Mary Berry is basically my grandma. Like, my grandma's like quite a lady.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, quite fancy. Mm. Full makeup, full lip. hair done, jewelry, the whole bit. So
matching
just like,
outfit. Yeah,
and just like, oh my god, this is my grandma.
Oh, that's awesome.
And she likes the booze in her baking so much. So they're the best. And then of course the hosts are the best.
Yeah, yes.
Mel and Sue. Funny. I love both of them.
Yeah,
bake.
I just can't get enough.
So
of
charming.
It. And they came to my rescue this week. I had to go to the dentist and have a whole bunch of. Horrible
oh, no.
work done right along my gum line on top and bottom of my right side. And I go to a fairly fancy dental office and they have the TV on the swivel arm and they like pull it down. I usually don't watch TV when I'm at the dentist because I'm trying to concentrate on not fucking losing it.
Yeah.
And having a panic attack.
I need TV for that. Yeah. Like I need,
yeah,
like give me a distraction or just, you know, knock me over the head and
yeah, sure. Yeah. Wake me up when it's
That's
over.
Fine. Yeah.
But they're like, well, I'll scroll through and see if there's anything. I'm like, oh, this is all garbage. And it was 5 o'clock, so it was like news was coming on. I'm like,
there's
I'm
nothing
not
on.
Fucking watching the news.
It's yeah,
not
going to
help my anxiety level. So, and then I see Great British Bake Off. Oh my God.
Yay,
so, and it was
perfect.
Like the Christmas special. So, oh. they brought back people from a bunch of different seasons.
Nice.
Yes.
Holiday baking.
So, it had like two favorites and two people I didn't know who instantly became my favorite.
Oh, for sure.
And it was great. So, they had to make like two different kinds of sugar cookies and hang them on a tree. And they had to make like a cream puff wreath. I don't know what they call cream puffs. They call it something else.
Profiteroles?
Yeah. Yes. But it's like the, you know, the they have to fill it with
little dough balls
creme
full of
patissiere.
Yeah. Creme pat.
Yeah. Creme pat. And there was some chocolate drizzle issues. It was great.
You didn't temper your chocolate.
Yeah. Oh. It was great. And I cry, literally cry every episode. I can't handle it. I'm like, oh no. They're getting voted off.
Can't they just all stay?
Or someone does really well. I'm like, oh my God. You tried your best and it worked.
Yeah. All the practicing at home is paying off.
I love it. I can't get enough of that show.
The Canadian one's also pretty good. Just started.
I haven't watched it yet.
Pretty good.
I watched one episode.
Yeah. I've watched all of them. It's all right.
This I like Dan Levy.
I do like Dan Levy.
And who's
I do like him.
Co-host?
I've never heard of her before. So she's British. But also not British. I've never heard of her. I had to look her up.
And then who are
I don't know who the judges are either.
I know. I've seen the guy before. The French guy.
Is he like a food?
Yeah. Food like a chef.
Food.
Yeah.
From food network
Quebec
TV or whatever.
I don't know. I thought he was French from France.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know anything about the lady. But the lady knows her shit.
Mm-hmm.
And which one's bad Mary cop? Berry. Which one's good cop?
She's the bad cop.
She's the bad cop.
Oh.
Yeah, she's like a no-nonsense lady. And the other guy, the French guy's like all charming and stuff.
Right. He's like, oh, nice try.
It doesn't look very nice, but it tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to get on that.
And the lady's like, oh, this looks like a mess.
This is awful.
I'm not even going to taste it.
Yeah. This looks inedible.
Yeah. This is raw dough.
That's what I hate when they cut it open and then they just poke it.
Yeah.
Close up?
Yeah, close up of like a manicured finger. Just be like, that's uncooked.
Yeah, I'm not going to eat that.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah, it's a good season for that show. My God.
Yeah, staying inside.
I just don't know how to get more of it because I don't have PBS.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because I am like more dedicated to the British one. I'm going to give the Canadian one a try. But
yeah, I think they're all on cbc.ca. I think you can watch a bunch of them on CBC on the website.
That is not a sponsored ad.
No. But if you want to, we can talk.
Yeah.
Then we can talk.
We can talk then.
I started watching it this summer when I was visiting my folks because they have all the senior people channels like PBS and KCTS9.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this show? And they're like, oh, we just started watching it. And my parents, as a rule, will not watch reality
TV.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This isn't reality.
They're so into it. And I was crying right away, first episode. I was like, oh, no. My mom's looking at me and I'm like, it's fine.
Let's just get through it. It's going to be okay.
It's the most beautiful show I've ever seen.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Look at the time. We're in the minute of our cutoff time.
Yeah, let's do it. We're 90 minutes in. Perfect.
So, first of all, Erin, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thanks for having me.
So fun to hear about your trip and your job.
Yeah, thanks for...
And look up Danica. Yeah, Danica.
Yes, so you can find products. Them. Now Designs is our U.S. version of our brand. So it's now_designs on Instagram. And we have our lifestyle brand, Danica Studio. And I think it's just one word on Instagram. But you can just look and see all of our cool products.
It's great stuff.
Yeah, it's really cute. It's
really and can they order from you guys directly or do you go through other sellers?
Well, we're a wholesaler.
Yeah.
So we sell the stores.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I'm at Welk's if you're in Vancouver.
Yeah, if you're in town, Welk's has a great selection.
And then
if you're in further out in the burbs, in Richmond, there's a great store in Steepston on the main drag.
Ah, beautiful.
I think it's called Pieces. They sell a lot of our stuff.
A bunch of stuff?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. And can I plug my Instagram?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, plug whatever you need to plug.
So my Instagram is Erin_Gibbs, and it's mostly...
Two Bs.
Yes, two
G-I-B-B-S.
Bs. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And there is an S instead of no S. Like the Gibb brothers.
Yeah.
From the Bee Gees. But it's mostly...
So you're not a Bee Gee?
I'm not related to the Bee Gees. I wish. Oh my God.
That was the only reason we wanted to have you on.
She's like a descendant of disco.
But your Instagram is delightful. You show a lot of your work. Was it like... You did a drawing a day for a couple years.
That was stressful. My cat is heavily featured.
Yes.
He's a tuxedo. Yeah, and just illustrations, some of the products I've designed.
Your sketchbook and stuff.
Yeah,
and
sketchbook. Yeah.
I really enjoy your feed.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
It's always nice to see.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a real treat.
Yeah, and you can find us on Instagram too.
Woo! We're Fashion Hacks Podcast.
I'm waiting for my egg sweatshirt to arrive. I ordered it.
Did you get one?
Yeah. I'm just waiting for it to arrive. Oh, my egg sweatshirt! It's a shirt with a fried egg on it. I want it to bend.
There's that knitted one that was popping up maybe like 3 years ago. It was like blue background with like a repeat of fried eggs. And I was like, how do I get this?
Yeah.
From Italy, 1,900 euros.
Was it a Moschino?
Maybe. Oh, man. Yeah, this is not. Give me a couple years and we'll find a cheaper version of that.
Yeah.
Once it's filtered its way through the trans system.
Yeah, I won't worry myself about this right now.
But I'm going to file it for later.
Yeah.
I'm going to file it away. Well, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Email us at fashionhags@gmail.com.
fashionhagspodcast.com,
our website.
We'll do a quick recap of all
stuff. We'll link to some stuff.
We're going to love it. Also note, this is the last episode before Christmas, so happy holidays to everyone who's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas or whatever it is you decide to celebrate or not.
It's Hanukkah at this very minute.
Yeah.
Hanukkah.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah. Or not, whatever. Whatever you do. But you probably won't hear from us until the second week of January. We haven't nailed down a exact schedule. If you hear from us before that, cool. But if not, don't worry yourselves.
Yeah, they're probably.
And if not, you've been warned.
Yeah, we got a bit of a.
Don't say we didn't.
Everybody's
tell you.
Leaving.
Yeah, we're all heading out of town.
Yeah,
but we'll be back in 2018. Better than ever.
Or maybe just the same is fine too.
Yeah.
But thanks again, you guys. And remember that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.